We do that. We stand to our feet to honor the fact that this is God's word. And so that's why we stand to our feet, not just because it's a ritual. So this is from Exodus chapter 15. I'm going to read from verses 13 through 18. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall on them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as stone. Until your people pass by, Lord, until the people you bought pass by, you will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, Lord, your hands established. The Lord reigns forever and ever. So I'm going to do something a little different today. I'm going to say God's word for God's people. And your response is going to be, blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay? So, God's word for God's people.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Good morning. All right, that's a good response there. You guys are awake today. Hey, Mark must have made some strong coffee. Yeah. You're like, amen. All right. Oh, Children's Church. Yes, Children's Church. You're dismissed. Ages. You know what age is. I was waiting for someone to fill in the blank there, yeah. But as we talk about in announcements, we're talking about freedom for the next 3 weeks. And we're going to be following that with an offering that's going to go towards a specific thing that helps people find freedom. As Kelly talked about that already. So for the next 3 weeks. The thing is that freedom, is it just like some random thing? Is it just like a good idea? Yes, it is a good idea. The thing about freedom, though, it's foundational to the message of the gospel. It's foundational to our life as Christians. It's not just one of those things that's sort of cool to add on. It's at the core. You take it away, and Christianity just begins to fall apart. And if we look even what Jesus had to say, he's quoting from Isaiah, but Luke 4, 18 through 19, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And at least according to Luke, at least as we follow Luke, this is really the first thing that Jesus is saying and doing ministry. Some other things that went on from when he got baptized and that, but this is the first thing that he proclaims out and doing ministry. I look at it as Jesus' mission statement. Again, a couple of freedom things. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. And then to set the oppressed free. Freedom is at the core of what Jesus was doing. It's at the core of what we should be doing. It's at the core of how we should live our lives in freedom. It's also foundational to our message is Free Methodists. So I just run through this. The message today is not about these, but I just want to run through them again as these are the more updated things, but for freedom. But we have what the core freedoms are: freedom of all races to worship together in unity, freedom of women and men to be treated respectfully and use their gifts equally in the church, in the home, and in the world. 3, freedom of the poor to be treated with dignity in the church and with justice in the world. Freedom of laity and clergy to be given equal authority and decision-making positions within the church, and freedom of the Holy Spirit to inspire our worship. Yeah. And really, today, we're going to be hitting two of those a little bit, well, quite a bit, but freedom of the poor to be treated with dignity, actually this whole series, freedom of the poor to be treated with dignity in the church and with justice in the world, and then the freedom of the Holy Spirit to inspire us to worship. But in looking at our freedom, I want us to look at what Christ has set us free from, and then challenge you to live in the full freedom that God has for you. I also want us to consider what we can do to help others live in freedom. At the end of my message, we're going to be having communion right here. And I want us to consider three things. What was it? What was I set free from, or what were you set free from? What do you still need help to be set free from? And also, how can I help others find that freedom? First, I want to tell you about where I was when God set me free. I've mentioned it here before, talked about it, but I'll just tell you, I was in a terrible place. My life had gone from success to failure. I was homeless. I was a drug addict. And it sounds crazy, but it's absolutely true. I had people, as in multiple people, looking to kill me. I was not a good person. I know you know me now. And you go, oh, Tony, he's an all right guy. I was not a good person. You would not want to be around me. I may have been able to put on some charm, but trust me, you did not want to be around me. For those of you who might be familiar with there's a song from the 90s by a group named Tool, rather graphic song, so I wouldn't do all of it, but having to do with addiction, but it talks about, I will find a center in you. That's what I did. I found something in you to be able to manipulate. So for my own pleasure, for my own gain. So if I did put on the charm, you were only going to get hurt. If Christ hadn't set me free, I guarantee you I would either be in prison or dead. Some of those things I'm so ashamed of that you'd never catch me talking about from up here. And very few people even know. But I would be in prison or dead. And there's many people like that throughout the world in our communities who need freedom. They need freedom. But I just want to stop. I want to just say, so for you guys, what are some of the things? You know, I don't want whole explanations, but just one word, one sentence answers. But what are some of the things that God has set you free from? Depression. Alcoholism. Need for affirmation from everyone else. Yes. Yeah, go ahead. Envy. We'll just call it envy. I don't know if I can. Oh, I saw a hand go up, but it was. What's that? Fear of death. There's a couple others, because I know we all. Yes. Undeserving. Yeah. Anger, yeah. Yeah. Suicide, yeah. Lust. Oh, yeah, Sean.
Failure,
yes.
Biggest one, forgiveness.
Forgiveness, Yes. It's, yeah. These are all huge things. And, you know, when I think to that moment that I was set free, I can only come to a humble place of worship of God. It's the only thing I can do, because I don't deserve it. I don't deserve what God did in my life. It's amazing what he did in my life. And I think for most, hopefully for all of us, we can say the same thing. But our freedom should lead us to, what's one of our purposes? Passionate worship. Of course, yeah, Evan, he came up with the outline, so he sort of knows. Yeah, of course, that's where he's going. Yeah. That was the whole, yeah. So anyway, but our freedom should lead us to passionate worship. It should. It really should. And this is what is happening in our text. The Israelites just got delivered from slavery. They got delivered from their enemy. We know the story. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about it again, but most of us know the story. There's been movies, cartoons, all types of things done about it. So we have some idea of what happened when the Israelites were set free from slavery. And in this text, this is where they say, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He has hurled both horse and rider into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise him. This is my father's God, and I will exalt him." Yes, hallelujah. I'll tell you, that's what happens. I tell you, you just think back. It's something powerful to think back as you're worshiping. I tell you, even again, as we take communion, I just want you to think, what is it that God has set you free from? What would it be like if you were still in that place? What was the path you were going on? What does it lead to? Your friends who are still on that path, where are they? But here I think it's important to know, why were they worshiping in song? Well, it's because they were set free. But what were they set free from? Slavery, but it can mean different things and different things for different people. But I'll just tell you here, just looking at some of the Hebrew words, which I won't try and pronounce, because I think Evan's the only one who knows how to pronounce the Hebrew. Well, maybe Kelly, you know, Evan and Kelly. But anyway. But it talks here that the Egyptian masters worked the Israelites ruthlessly. So ruthlessly. And made their lives bitter. They did it in a way that, not just like a, because actually, I think most of us, I mean, we all get a little lazy probably, but a good day's work makes us feel good. So we're not talking about that. It made them bitter. And it was hard in the sense of the word of cruelty, a cruel sort of hard. That they languished in misery and suffering. Their spirits were broken. Their sons were being killed. This is what they were being set free from. This is what they were being set free from, and they were set free in a miraculous way. In a miraculous way. We see as this song, it goes on to say, at the blast of your breath, the waters piled up. The surging water stood straight like a wall. In the heart of the sea, the deep waters became hard. I tell you, miraculous. I tell you, for me, my deliverance was miraculous. It was miraculous. And I tell you, so I won't go into all of it, but my dad was working years ago for a video company. Most of what they did was videotaping national parks and put together documentaries. But the documentary end of things, they were working with another company that was actually going and trying to find the place where they crossed. Because they said there had to be another explanation besides there were two walls. And they had millions they invested into this. Sonar, the whole sea, the whole crossing there, going down with cameras trying to find stuff. And guess what? They couldn't find a reasonable explanation. This was miraculous. There was a wall of water on each side, and they were walking through on dry ground. They tried to explain maybe it was a tsunami and it happened quick and all types of things, but they couldn't come up with anything that explained it. It was miraculous. And we, whether you realize it or not, if you are a believer, you have experienced a miraculous freedom. And there's other people in this world that need miraculous freedom too. So what type of freedom we don't... Okay, so maybe we don't, and even the majority of the world doesn't experience some of these things. Of course, at times I felt like... At times I felt a little bit like my employer was making me bitter. But anyway. So you might go, a little bit. But we... I don't think anyone in this room, as far as I know, quite knows, went through... I don't know everyone's story, but I don't think we went through something similar to what the Israelites were going through. But what are the things that we go through and we need freedom from and are the rest of the world? Yeah. We have, I think, first of all, there's the freedom from the ultimate one, the freedom from the ultimate consequence of our sin, which we don't, a lot of time, again, church growth, they tell you not to use the word sometimes, some groups, but ultimate consequence of our sin is hell. Is life apart from God. Freedom from addictions, whether drug, food, or sex. Freedom from abuse, whether physically, emotionally, sexually, whatever. Freedom from abuse. Freedom from debt, from the simple credit card to the illegal debt that some owe to others, and then those people use it to control their lives. Such as immigrants forced into working for substandard wages to pay off a debt, or even forced into the sex trade to pay off a debt. There's another thing to look at, though. Once we look at what's been set free, there's another thing that I think we should look at. So we find freedom. We help other people find freedom. And they need it. And I think, you're doing the last message, right? You're bringing it home?
No, he is.
Oh, Kelly's bringing it home? You're doing the next one? Okay. Kelly's really going to bring it home, I think, according to, the things that we can do, hopefully. Raising the standard, raising the bar. As far as how can we, what can we do? What can we do to help and... What should we be doing? But I think it's important to look at, because I think often we end up in a place like this. Looking at freedom, I lost my place in my notes. Just after they came to this place of freedom, they went and moved on. The miraculous, they made it through the sea, and they were delivered. I mean, just a total separation. I love the idea of how the water almost creates a total separation from their deliverance. It was total freedom. But it couldn't even touch them. And then they come, just a little farther on, past this text, they come to some water, and they're thirsty. And it's bitter. And they complained. And I just want to show a video clip here. It's something that I think is relating. And I'm going to set it up a little bit because it's said in here, but it's right at the beginning. So if it doesn't all happen, it's all perfect, you'll miss it. But it's from a movie, but they're talking about a baseball player. And this baseball player was known. He was overweight and he couldn't run that fast, but he was a decent hitter. So he would always just run to first base. And so he... hits the ball, and we'll end up seeing that, but he was known for never going past first base. And in here, he decides to make an attempt to go past that, but we'll see if we can get that up there, I think. That should be fine. The middle lights are off.
Celia Oaks and our 240-pound catcher, Jeremy Brown.
Can you turn the...
As you know, scared to run to second base.
The volume needs to come up.
He was in the game 6 weeks ago.
Okay. The one all the way over? Not the... Well, that's the main volume, but...
The Visalia Oaks and our 240-pound catcher, Jeremy Brown, who, as you know, scared to run to second base. This was in the game 6 weeks ago. This guy's going to start him off with a fastball. Jeremy's going to take him to deep center. Here's what's really interesting, because Jeremy's going to do what he never does. He's going to go for it. He's going to round first, and he's going to go for it. Okay? This is all of Jeremy's nightmares coming to life.
Oh, they're laughing at him.
And Jeremy's about to find out why. Jeremy's about to realize that the ball went 60 feet over the fence. He hit a home run and didn't even realize it.
So that's good, Phil. Thing is, I think often this is what happens with our freedom. Christ set us free. In this case, I felt like doing it. I have in my notes here close to 40 scriptures that talk about freedom. It's foundational. Christ has set us free. He has set us free. Is there an area of your life you need to find freedom? Have you, like the baseball player, tried to go for second base and for a home run, but you are so convinced that you'll fail that you run back to safety, not realizing that Christ has set you free if you just keep on running? Christ has set you free. Christ has set you free. So those things that you've done, and again, I understand the process of we try and we fail and all that, but there's something about just keeping going. We keep going, and we just know that Christ has set us free, and we keep moving towards that. There's something about that. Let's not be like that baseball player and say, oh, get partway there, and we've worked part of the struggle to get free, and then we turn around and run back to safety. Let's press on. Let's press on to those places where we don't, where we maybe are uncomfortable and unsure, and maybe, you know, whether it's emotionally or physically, whatever it is, it makes you run back. The fear, the shame, just push through it. And let's find that freedom that God has for us. Let's find it. Again, during communion, I would challenge you to make a commitment to moving towards the freedom that Christ brought to your life. And not only did brought, but it was bought with his life, which is what we're looking at. If you want, when we have communion, you can stay at the altar, make a new commitment, have someone pray with you, any of that. You go back to your seat. I'm not that worried about that, but let's make a commitment to press forward. Last, when looking at freedom, we also are supposed to take on the mission of Jesus to set the captives free. Who is this freedom for? For everybody. I could lay it out over and over again in different ways, but I'll just go to probably the most well-known verse of the Bible and then the one right after it. But for God so loved the world, that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Who do you know who needs freedom? Who do you know who knows needs the freedom that you've experienced? But I'd also challenge you to say, okay, what people throughout the world, who throughout the community, the world, the nation, what nations need freedom in specific ways? Who's being oppressed? And what can we do to help them? As we take communion, I want us to think about three things. I mentioned it already. But what freedom did Jesus bring into your life? Be worshipful and thankful for that. What areas of your life do you need freedom, need to find freedom, and ask God for help? Or even someone else. And God. Always ask God, but in what areas do you think the world needs to find freedom? I ask you to pray for them. And also ask, what is it that I can do to help them? Because there are things, just like we're going to be helping people over in Africa who need freedom. There's things we can do. Some are more hands-on, some aren't. But just as we do that, if the worship team, I think you guys... I think I see. Oh, yeah, there's Andrew. He's looking for. But just consider those things. Again, just what freedom did Jesus bring to your life? What areas of your life do you need to find freedom? And what areas do you think the world needs to find freedom?